الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، continuing with the lesson صفة الصلاة, the description of the prayer in accordance to what is established in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before we continue, I just want to talk about two issues as it pertains to the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. I wanted to mention this in the previous lesson, but qaddar Allah ma sha fa'al, we couldn't find the book. And no doubt this is an issue that may arise in our circles, because we live in a land where, alhamdulillah, people are embracing Islam on a regular basis. Alhamdulillah, yesterday a brother took his shahada, embraced al-Islam, walillah alhamd, huna fil masjid. So the masala is what? And I'm reading from Sharh al-Mumti' of الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى الشرح الممتع. مسألة, an issue, إذا لم يعرف الفاتحة هل يلزمه أن يتعلمها؟ If a person does not know سورة الفاتحة, is it obligatory upon them to learn it? If a person does not know سورة الفاتحة, is it obligatory upon them to learn it? الشيخ ابن عثيمين said, والجواب, the answer is na'am, yes, it is obligatory, compulsory upon the individual to learn Surah Al-Fatiha. It is obligatory. يلزم أن يتعلمها لأن قراءتها واجبة, because recitation of Al-Fatiha is واجبة, it is an obligation. وما لا يتم الواجب إلا به فهو واجب, that which is needed to fulfill an obligation is considered to be an obligation in itself. ما لا يتم الواجب إلا به فواجب. هذه قاعدة مهمة, an important principle. What is needed to fulfill an obligation is an obligation in itself. And الشيخ ابن عثيمين, he said, كعادم الماء, like the one who does not have water. يجب عليه طلبه, it is obligatory upon him to search for water and to buy it, للوضوء أو الغسل به إذا كان يباع. It is obligatory upon him to look for water and to purchase it, to buy it, to make wudu or الغسل, if water is being sold, subhanAllah. The individual has the ability to buy that water, it's obligatory upon him to buy the water to perform الوضوء or to make الغسل. لأن ما لا يتم الواجب إلا به فهو واجب. And then the Sheikh, he goes on to mention, he said, وليس هذا من باب ما لا يتم الواجب إلا به لأن وجوب الفاتحة ثابت. He said, and also, the obligation of reciting الفاتحة is established. Now, we've mentioned, alhamdulillah, the nusus. لا صلاة, there is no prayer for the one who does not read with the opening surah of the book, Surah الفاتحة. فيلزم يتعلم هذه السورة. It is obligatory upon the Muslim to learn Surah الفاتحة. فإن ضاق الوقت, قرأ ما تيسر من القرآن من سواها. If, for example, a person doesn't have enough time to learn Al-Fatiha, then he recites whatever he can, or whatever she can from the Qur'an. لعموم قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, due to the general meaning of the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, اقرأ ما تيسر معك من القرآن. Recite what you possess, what is easy for you, from the Qur'an. طيب, if somebody doesn't know any Qur'an, ماذا يفعل? What do they do? They don't know any Qur'an. It's time for salah. ماذا عليه? What is upon the Muslim? It's time to pray. He doesn't know Surah Al-Fatiha. وما تعلم شيئا من القرآن. He doesn't know anything from the Qur'an. ماذا يفعل? What do they do? The Shaykh, he said, ماذا? تفضل. نعم. فإن لم يكن معه قرآن فإنه يسبح. If a person does not know any Qur'an, then He says, Subhanallah, فَيَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And the Shaykh, he goes on to discuss, Al-Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, to discuss another issue. He said, what about if somebody, إِذَا لَمْ يَجِدْ مَنْ يُعَلِّمُنِي إِيَّاهَا إِلَّا بِأُجْرَةِ. I don't find anyone to teach me Al-Fatiha, except I give them some money, except I pay them to do that. فَهَلْ يَلْزَمُنِي دَفْعُ الْأُجْرَةٍ إِلَيْهِ. Is it wajib upon me that now I have to pay a Quran teacher to teach me how to recite Al-Fatiha? ماذا عندكم؟ ننظر إلى الإخوة. ماذا عندكم؟ تفضل. Anybody else? Abu Abdurrahman, ماذا عندك؟ طيب. ماذا عندك؟ مصطفى. فماذا يفعل؟
الذي ما تعلم هذا يدفع ويتعلم إذا كان صاحب القرآن يسأل.
ماهر ما جوابك؟ تفضل حسن. حنيف. الشيخ ابن عثيمين said الجواب, the answer, again, this is in الشرح الممتع, volume number 3, page 70. فإن لم يجد, he said, الجواب, وإذا لم أجد من يعلمني إياها إلا بأجرة فهل يلزمني دفع أجرة؟ الجواب نعم. He said, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Even if you don't find anyone to teach you except that you have to pay them, then نعم, you should pay them to learn, for them to teach you الفاتحة. He said, كما لو لم يجد ماء إلا ببيع. Again, if a person, نعم, does not find any water except that water that's being sold, فَإِنَّهُ يَلْزَمُهُ شَرَاؤُهُ لِلْوُضُوءِ. It's wajib upon him that he buys that water to make الوضوء. He said, وَلَكِنْ يَبْقَى النَّظَرُ هَلْ يَجُوزُ لِلْآخَرُ أَنْ يَطْلُبْ أُجْرَى عَلَى تَعْلِيمِ الْقُرْآنِ. He said, then we have another issue that arises. الشيخ العلامة محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمه الله, وَلَكِنْ يَبْقَى النَّظَرُ. Now we still have to look and analyze the situation. هَلْ يَجُوزُ لِلْآخَرُ. Is it permissible for the other person أَنْ يَطْلُبُ أُجْرَةً عَلَى تَعْلِيمِ الْقُرْآنِ, to request some money in order to teach the Qur'an? And this is an important mas'ala, because we have Qur'an schools, alhamdulillah, that take a small fee. Na'am. Even though the fees that in reality that are taken here, they're minimal compared to other places. Other places, there are a lot more. Na'am. Other places, there are a lot more. The Shaykh said, al-jawab, the answer, and this is the position of the permanent committee, al-lajnat al-da'imah, نعم, he said, الجواب الصحيح الجواز. That which is the correct opinion in this matter is that it is permissible. لعموم قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Based upon the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إن أحق ما أخذتم عليه أجر كتاب الله. For verily, the most deserving of things for which you take recompense for is the book of Allah. The most deserving of things for which you take some recompense for is the book of Allah عز وجل. وهذا الذي استؤجر أو طلب الأجرة طلب على عمل متعد وهو التعليم. Because the one who seeks some compensation in order to teach the Quran, he is seeking compensation for an action that will benefit others. It's going to benefit others. The people will benefit. وهو التعليم. بخلاف من طلب أجرة على القراءة. And the Sheikh, he makes a distinction. There's a difference between someone saying, give me money so I can read for you the Qur'an. This is a big difference. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَجُوز. The Shaykh said, as for someone saying, give me money so I can recite for you the Qur'an, هذا لا يجوز. كَمَا لَوْ قَالْ أَنَا أَقْرَأُ سُورَةَ الْبَقَرَةَ وَتُعْطِينِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Somebody said to him, I'll recite Baqarah for you, but you give me such and such amount of money. He said, قُلْنَا هَذَا حَرَامٌ. We say that this is forbidden. أَمَّا إِذَا قَالْ. However, if the person was to say, وَعَلِّمُكَ إِيَّاهَا بِكَذَا وَكَذَا, I will teach you such and such for such and such amount, he said, فَهَذَا جَائِزْ, then this is permissible. وَلِهَذَا زَوَجَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الرَّجُلَ الَّذِي لَمْ يَجِدْ مَهْرًا بِمَا مَعَهُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ يُعَلِّمُهَا إِيَّاهُ. And that is why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he married the man who did not find any mahar, any dowry. He married the man to the woman for what he possessed, what? Of the Qur'an. For what he possessed of the Qur'an. So is that clear, Ikhwan? That's wadih? Alhamdulillah. But even alhamdulillah, with regards to that, nam, even learning the Qur'an, the best place to learn is in the masajid of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and make sure that the teachers are the people of sunnah, and likewise, alhamdulillah, people that are a qudwa, an example. Not that, you know, I say, I'm going to teach you Qur'an and ila akhirihi, and I'm not a qudwa for you, la fi shay, na'am. Like you have individuals, they say, you know, come, and they pull people away from masajid, and they say, you know, I'll teach you the Qur'an, you don't have to go to any masjid, ta'al ilayya. But you see them, they're not no qudwa. You may see it's a man, haliq al-lihya wal-iyadu billah, you know, he shaves, yudakhin, he may smoke cigarettes, wal-iyadu billah. Or a woman, she doesn't even clothe properly, she doesn't dress properly, and she says, you know, I'm kada, I've learned such and such amount of Qur'an, and she doesn't even dress properly. How's that a benefit? Al-Qur'an, hujjatan laka wa alik. The Qur'an is a proof for you or against you. And it's better for a person, alhamdulillah, that they memorize a small amount, but they implement what they know, rather than somebody who's memorized a lot, and they don't implement what they've learned. Na'am. فَإِنَّهَا كَافِيَ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. Now, as for somebody asked as well, what's the proof with regards to the issue we said for the one who doesn't know Surah Al-Fatiha to say Subhanallah ila akhirihi? Then the proof for that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said to the man who prayed badly, it's found in the hadith of the man who prayed badly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, فَإِنْ كَانَ مَعَكَ قُرْآنٌ فَقْرَ بِهِ. If you have memorized any Qur'an, then recite that. وَإِلَّا if not, فَأَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ, then praise Allah, وَكَبِّرْهُ, and say Allahu Akbar, وَهَلِّلْهُ, and say لا إله إلا الله. يعني a person should say الحمد لله والله أكبر ولا إله إلا الله. Or for example, we find another hadith, like a Shaykh Ibn Uthaymi mentioned, سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. الحمد لله جزاكم الله خيرا. نعم. So moving on, الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى said, ثم يقول إذا انتهى من الفاتحة آمين يرفع بها صوته في الجهرية إن كان إماما. So the Shaykh, he said, then when the one who is praying, when he has finished reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, he says آمين. When he has finished reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, he says, the one who is praying, آمين. Raising his voice when saying Ameen, if it is a loud prayer, if he is the Imam. And likewise, as will come, even if he is being led in the prayer. And this is because of what is narrated by Abu Dawood and Wa'il ibn Hujar radiallahu anhu, said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قرأ وللضالين قال آمين ورفع بها صوته. Abu Dawood collected in his Sunan from Wa'il ibn Hujar radiallahu an, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would recite وللضالين, after he would say وللضالين, he would then say آمين, and he would raise his voice with this. ورواه بنحوه الترمذي, and الترمذي, he collects a similar narration. At-Tirmidhi collects a similar narration. And likewise, there comes in As-Sahihain. What's As-Sahihain? Noor. Naam, Bukhari and Muslim. What's another way to say it? Fadal. Huh? Muttafaqun alayh. What's another way to say it? Muhammad. another way, Dawood. Abdulaziz.
Based on the two
shaykhs. Naam, akhrajwa shaykhan. collected by the two sheikhs. The two sheikhs, the door might be locked. The two sheikhs, meaning al-Bukhari and Muslim. من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, from the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, إذا أمن الإمام فأمنوا. It comes in the hadith, if the imam says Ameen, then say Ameen. If the imam says Ameen, then say Ameen. فأمنوا. So again, this is also applicable to what? The one who is being led in prayer. Because here we find in this hadith, إذا أمن الإمام, if the imam says Ameen, فأمنوا, it's a command, then also you, meaning the ones who are being led in prayer, say Ameen. And the meaning of Ameen, معناها اللهم استجب. It means, O Allah, answer. The meaning of Ameen, it means, O Allah, answer. اللهم استجب. فهو اسم فعل أمر بمعنى استجب. ويجهر بها المأموم أيضا. The Sheikh said, clarifying what we've already stated, Alhamdulillah. Also, the one who is being led in the prayer, he says it out loud, in the loud prayer. وروى ابن ماجة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. Ibn Majah, he narrates from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, قال ترك الناس التأمين. The people, they had left off saying آمين. وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قال, and when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he said غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, قال آمين, then he would say آمين. حتى يسمعها أهل الصف الأول فيرتج بها المسجد. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he said غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, he would say آمين, and it would be heard by the people in the first row, and the masjid would tremor or shake, meaning from everyone saying it, saying Ameen. When does the one who is being led in the prayer, when does he say Ameen? When does the one who is praying in the prayer, when does he say Ameen? Mata, Fadal, after. So he waits for the imam to say Ameen, and then he says it? Naam. So he waits until the imam, he says Ameen, and then he says it after it. Fadl. Naam. Fadl, akhi. Mada indak? After the imam. So he waits for the imam to finish? Somebody may ask, what is the correct position? No doubt there's ikhtilaf between the ulama with regards when to say Ameen, when being led in the prayer, meaning for the one who is being led in the prayer behind the imam in the aloud prayer. That which is correct based upon, for example, the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from them, إِذَا قَالَ الْإِمَامِ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, if the imam says غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, then say Ameen. So you see, what does it mention here? If the imam, if he has said غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, then you say what? Ameen. So it doesn't say to wait for the imam to finish. Also, we have in the hadith, فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَقُولْ آمِينَ وَإِنَّ الْإِمَامِ يَقُولْ آمِينَ فَمَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَفِي لَفْظٍ آخر, إِذَا قَالَ أَحَدَكُمْ فِي الصَّلَاةِ آمِينَ فَوَافَقَ إِحْدَاهُمَ الْآخَرَ غَفْرَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. ما ذكر من الفضل في اجتماع تأمين الإمام والمأموم. The ahadith that show the virtue of the imam and those who, yani who are being led in prayer, saying the Ameen at the same time. The excellence of the imam and those who are being led in the prayer, saying Ameen at the same time. يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْمَأْمُومِ لَابُدْ أَنْ يَكُونَ حَادِرَ الدِّهِمْ فِي السَّلَامِ مُتَابِعًا لِسَّلَاةِ الْإِمَامِ. Shaykh al-Albani رحمه الله تعالى also mentioned as a fa'ida, and this is mentioned by Shaykh Muhammad Bazmul. وَقَدْ سَأَلْتُ الشَّيْخ مُحَمَّدْ نَاسِرِ الدِّينَ الْأَلْبَانِي فِي زِيَارَتِي إِلَى الْمَمْلَكَةِ الْعَرَبِيَةِ السَّعُودِيَةِ عَنْ مَسَأَلَةِ تَأْمِينَ الْمَأْمُومِ مَعَ تَأْمِينَ الْإِمَامِ. فَقَالَ الشَّيْخ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, عَلَى الْمَأْمُومِ أَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ تَأْمِينَهُ عَنْ تَأْمِينَ الْإِمَامِ بِمِقْدَارِ حَرْفٍ أَوْ حَرْفَيْنِ. Based upon the general ahadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم from them, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. You shouldn't precede the imam in saying Ameen. So you should at least wait, Shaykh al-Albani said, for a letter or two. So you should wait for the imam at least to say, you know, and then you say Ameen at the same time as him. So you shouldn't precede him. Is that clear? So now we should try and say it at the same time without preceding him. Is that clear to everyone? Naam. So Shaykh al-Albani, he said, rahimahullah, he said, naam, he said, the one who is being led in the prayer, he should wait for a letter or two to make sure that he doesn't precede the imam. He said, look, بِأَنْ يَكُونْ تَأْمِينَ الْمَأْمُومِ. So in this way, the one who is being led in the prayer, him saying, Ameen, naam, it will coincide with the Ameen of the imam with some of the letters. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْإِمَامُ آمِينَ يَبْدَأُ الْمَأْمُومُ فِي قَوْلِ آمِينَ فَيَلْتَقِدُ هُوَ وَالْإِمَامُ فِي بَعْضِ حُرُوفِ الْكَلِمَةِ وَيَسْبِقُهُ الْإِمَامُ فِي حَرْفٍ أَوْ حَرْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْكَلِمَةِ فَيَحْصُلُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْإِلْتِقَاءُ الْإِمَامِ وَالْمَأْمُومِ فِي قَوْلِ آمِينَ فِي بَعْضِ حُرُوفِهَا مِنْ آخِرِهَا. نعم. So, alhamdulillah, that should be clear, inshallah. Then the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, في إعلام الواقعين عن عطاء رحمه الله قال أدركت 200 من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا المسجد إذا قال الإمام ولا الضالين سمعت لهم رجع بآمين. That comes in إعلام الموقعين. Whose book is that? إعلام الموقعين. Who wrote that book? ناصر ابن القيم. نعم. What's it about? Naam, it's advice. Zid. لكن إيش إعلام الموقعين يوقعون على ماذا؟
الذي يفتي كأنه يقع على شيء بأن هذا من الله ورسوله.
يوقع.
لا يوافق على شيء كأنه يقول هذا من.
توقيع. إيه هذا هو. نعم. The book إعلام الموقعين ابن القيم رحمه الله he wrote that as advice. To anyone, mother, who is giving fatwa, verdicts, or anyone in reality is more general than that, who is speaking about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, إعلام الواقعين, letting anyone who gives a fatwa, a verdict, speaks about the religion of Islam, informing them that in reality they are stating that Allah azza wa jalla tabaraka wa ta'ala said this about this particular matter. Allah said that this is halal. If somebody says, na'am, that's halal, he's saying Allah has said that this is halal. If somebody says this is haram, he's saying Allah says that this is haram. Naam, and it's like he's making tawqi'. Naam, in reality, it's like he's signing that verdict. It's a serious matter. And he mentions so many benefits in that book, principles and fawaid. Naam, alhamdulillah, in that book, I'lam al-waqi'een. And he discusses many different matters. So in that book, Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions from Ata, rahimahullah, who said, I met 200 companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this masjid. And when the Imam, he said, وَلَدْضَالِينَ, he said, you could hear the tremors from the people saying, Ameen. And again, all of this, ikhwan, is in response because you have some of the madhahib, they say that in the loud prayer, you do not say Ameen out loud. You do not say Ameen out loud. That's why some of us, We've most probably prayed in masajid like that, and if you say Ameen, people will look at you afterwards, like, what are you doing? Naam, that's a madhab. Fiqhi, however, as we see, it goes against the strongest position, and that which we find in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that which we find authentically established upon the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَرَوَى عَبْدُ الرَّزَاقُ عَنْ عَطَى رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ قَالَ كُنْتُ أَسْمَعَ الْأَئِمَّ يَقُولُونَ عَلَى إِثْرِ أُمِّ الْقُرْآنِ آمِينَ هم أنفسهم ومن وراءهم حتى إن للمسجد. He said, عبد الرزاق upon عطاء, he said, I heard the imams used to lead the salawat. All of them, they used to say after reciting أم القرآن من الفاتحة, they would say آمين. He said, I used to hear the imams of the salawat, and after reciting الفاتحة, they would say آمين. They themselves, meaning the imams who were leading the prayer and those who were praying behind them. And you could hear, in the masjid, you could hear the tremors from them saying, Ameen. Or you could hear the shaking of the tremors due to them saying, Ameen, aloud. Then the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, ثُمَّ يَسْكُتُ سَكْتَ يَسِيرًا. Then the one who is praying, after he recites Surah Al-Fatiha, he pauses for a short period of time. ثُمَّ يَسْكُتُ سَكْتَ يَسِيرًا. He pauses for a short period of time, for a brief moment. Again, some people have a misunderstanding with regards to this sakta, They say that you should remain silent in order to allow those people who are praying behind you to say to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. So they say that after the Imam has mother recited, some of them say Surah Al-Fatiha, he should remain silent in order to allow those who are praying behind him to recite Al-Fatiha. He should give them enough time. There's no dalil for that. There is no dalil on sahihun sarihun that the Imam, he remains silent after Surah Al-Fatiha for a period of time to allow those who are behind him to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. That's why, as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned here, ثُمَّ يَسْكُتُ سَكْتَةً يَسِيرًا. The person, he remains silent for a brief moment of time. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned, وَهِيَ سَكْتَةٌ لَطِيفَ لِلْفَصْلِ لَا تَتَّسِعْ لِقِرَاءَةِ الْفَاتِحَةِ. This is a short pause. Naam, it is a short pause for the Imam to now recite the other surah that he's going to recite after Al-Fatiha. And it is not long enough for someone to recite, for the one who is being late, to recite Al-Fatiha. Naam. Then the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned the hadith, رَوَى أَبُو دَاوُدَ أَنْ قَتَادَ عَنِ الْحَسَنِ أَنَّ سَمُرَى إِبْنُ جُنْدُبْ وَعِمْرَانِ إِبْنُ حُسَيْنِ تَذَاكَرَى فَحَدَّثَ سَمُرَى إِبْنُ جُنْدُبْ أَنَّهُ حَفِظَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ سَكْتَتَيْنِ سَكْتَةً إِذَا كَبَّرْ وَسَكْتَةً إِذَا فَرَغَ مِنْ قِرَاءَةِ غَيْرِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ فَحَفِظَ ذَلِكَ سَمُرَى وَأَنْكَرَ عَلَيْهِ عِمْرَانِ إِبْنُ حُسَيْنِ فكتب في ذلك إلى أبي بن كعب فكان في كتابه إليهما أو في رده عليهما أن سمرة قد حفظ. That comes in the hadith narrated by Abu Dawood from Qatada from Al-Hasan that Samura ibn Jundub and Imran ibn Hussein were revising. So Samura ibn Jundub said that he memorized from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam two pauses. He memorized from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam two moments where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pause. Saktatan idha kabbar. He would pause after he said the opening takbir, Allahu akbar. Wa saktatan idha faragha min qira'ati ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin. And he would pause for a moment after he recited ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin. Fa hafidha dhalika Samura. Samura memorized this and Imran ibn Husayn, he denied it. Imran ibn Husayni denied it. So they wrote to Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu anh, they wrote to Ubay ibn Ka'b to ask him concerning this. And in his letter to them, or his response to them, Ubay, he said, Samura has surely memorized, meaning that which is correct. However, ikhwan, the scholars, they differ with regards to the authenticity of this hadith. As we see, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, قال ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, وقد صح حديث السكتتين من رواية سمرة وأبي بن كعب وإمران بن حسين ذكر ذلك أبو حاتم في صحيحه. Ibn al-Qayyim held the position that the hadith about the two pauses in the prayer from the narration of Samura and Imran ibn Hussein and Ubay ibn Ka'b is authentic. And it's mentioned by Abu Hatim in his Sahih. Ibn Hajar also, he said, وَالسَّكْتَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ الْفَاتِحَ وَالسُّورَةِ ثَبَتَ فِيهَا حَدِيثُ سَمَرَى عند أبي داود وغيره. The pause after Surah Al-Fatiha, and we said it's a brief pause, a very brief pause, after Surah Al-Fatiha, and before a person recites the next surah, he said it's established in the hadith of Samura, collected by Abu Dawud and others. However, just for a fa'idah, Shaykh al-Albani declares this hadith to be da'if. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, declares this hadith to be da'if. Naam, and you can find a detailed discussion concerning it in Al-Irwa, Irwa al-Ghaleel, hadith number 505. Shaykh al-Albani declared it to be weak in Irwa al-Ghaleel, hadith 505. One of the reasons is because of the an'ana of al-Hasan, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and other reasons. ثُمَّ يَقْرَأُ بَعْدَ الْفَاتِحَةِ مَا تَيَسَرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ وَقْتَ الْأَذَانِ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. خلاص, inshallah, we read this after the adhan. ثُمَّ نَقِفْ.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
نعم إن شاء الله. So we just stop إن شاء الله بإذن الله with the statement of الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى when he said ثم يقرأ بعد الفاتحة ما تيسر من القرآن لكن الأفضل أن تكون سورة تكون غالبا في الفجر من طوال المفصل وفي المغرب من قصاري وفي الباقي من أوساطه لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لمعاذ رضي الله عنه هلا قرأت بيسبح اسم ربك الأعلى والليل إذا يغشى والشمس وضحاها وما أشبه ذلك. After reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, the one who is praying, he should recite whatever is easy for him from the Quran. After reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, the person, he should recite whatever is easy for him from the Quran. But it is better for the one who is praying to recite a whole surah. Usually, in the Fajr, a person recites min tiwal al-mufassal, from the longer mufassal surahs. And I'm going to ask you, what's the meaning of al-mufassal? Ba'da qaleel. And in Maghrib, he recites from the smaller mufassal surah. وفي الباقي, and the other prayers min awsatihi. For the remaining prayers, he reads from the median length mufassal surah of the Quran. And this is because the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Mu'adh, if only you had read, سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى and وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا and the like of this. So now I'll stop there inshallah, and we'll continue next Thursday, بإذن الله. What is the meaning of Al-Mufassal and what are those surahs which are considered to be Al-Mufassal? What's the meaning of Al-Mufassal? غير مصطفى. Other than Mustafa, other than Muhammad. Fadda, naam, anta. Why are they called Al-Mufassal? That's the first question. Why are they called Al-Mufassal? Ihsan, لماذا سمي مفصلا؟ ها؟ كيف؟
لأن السورة الطويلة آيات يعني أطول عادة ثم سورة القافلة سورة الناس عادة الأقصى.
نعم ابن حجر mentions that رحمه الله سمي مفصلا those سور they're known as المفصل. Why? Because they are لكثرة الفصل بين هذه السور because of there are many breaks between these surahs with البسملة. With the basmala, that's the qawl of Ibn Hajar. You find with these surahs that there are many breaks between them with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Where do they start from? Where in the Quran does the surah al-Mufassal? Where do they start from? Fadl, you had it. So it starts from where? Don't panic. You said Alhamdulillah before Qaf, and then you said it starts from Baqarah. It starts from Surah Qaf. Naam. It starts from Surah Qaf. There's a difference of opinion. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen yurajjih hadha kama sayati dhikruhu. It starts from Qaf. Why? Because if you look at Surah Al Baqarah, how many ayat before the Basmala? However, from Surah Qaf to the end of the Quran, there are more breaks with the basmala. So they are known as al-mufassal. From the mufassal, you have those which are longer. Like for example, Surah al-Hujarat, Surah Qaf, Surah Muhammad, ila akhirihi. You have from them those who are of medium size, and you have those which are short. Who can give me an example of a short surah? Allah al-musta'an, ya ikhwan. Tafaddal. Give me an example of a small mufassal surah. Yes, that's considered to be mufassal. Labas. Naam. The smaller mufassal surah. Al-Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said it starts from al-duha ila al-nas. So now you could have said any of the smaller surahs. I'm not here to trick you, ikhwan. I'm not here to trick you. Khalas, we'll stop there inshallah. And we'll continue in the next dars, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We'll continue in the next lesson.